BYL University is the biggest online platform for education, but it's much, much more. It's actually a community. Our private Facebook group has over 8,000 members and 20 infinity groups. The students teach themselves just as much as the professors do. We have weekly webinars. We have over 100 past webinars. You get access to MG the Mortgage Guy's Real Estate Blueprint. You get access to monthly financial planning calls with yours truly. You get access to our monthly group chat investment calls and much, much more. So, go to EYLUniversity.com right now and take advantage of our limited offer. Blowout sale, 65% off of the annual membership. EYLUniversity.com right now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is Legends Only edition.
Yeah, another Legends Only edition.
This is a fact. You know, it's always fun for us to talk to legends in the game. And when I say the game, as far as hip hop, but entrepreneur game as well. But, you know, we grew up on music. So coming from New York, you know, we was heavy East Coast influence.
That's a fact.
But, you know, a lot of people from the West Coast really changed the game.
For sure.
And really got up. Yeah, that's a fact. So, of course, you know, you think about the obvious names, Snoop and Dre, but you can't talk the West Coast without E-40.
Jay Area. That's a
fact. Hello.
Fonzarelli. Fonzarelli. 40 Water.
Damn it.
Sprinkle Me, man.
Sprinkle Me. That was the first time I actually got on.
It's crazy. That was the song that got me. It was that sugar.
40,
that's my sister.
I mean, my brother played. I'm like, who's that? He's like, yo, it's that new vibe. It's called E-40. I'm like, E-40? He's like, I dig it. So he needs no introduction, E-40. You know, legendary just in every aspect of the game. He's actually been in the hip hop game for 35 years. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I was born in 84. He came out in 86.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. 80s. So the longevity is just, that might be the Guinness Book of World Records. Like,
yeah, he's
up
running.
Up there with like LL.
Too short and like Ice-T.
Okay.
I came out, my actual first project came out in 1988. It was music on the shelves and everything. I have been rapping since I heard Sugar Hill Gang when I was, in 1979. I was 11 years old. Everybody was kids back then, you know, for my age group. But anyway, my first official album came out in 1988. So that's 33 years. It's still a long damn time.
And a lifetime.
You know what I mean? And I was rapping at college in 86. That's where you got 86 from. Because I went to talent shows and stuff like that, you know, in college at Grambling State University.
Yes. So let's get into this. We always love to talk from a different perspective. Most people, they give interviews, and if they're in entertainment or their sports, it's always about their career as far as a musician or their career as an athlete. But I feel like, you know, people have way more to offer than just, you know, what meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And E-40 is a perfect example of this as far as being an entrepreneur. So we'll talk about all the different things that he has going on. But first and foremost, I want to ask you, because you're known as like a pioneer in this entrepreneur space. Now it's cool to be an entrepreneur in hip-hop, but it wasn't always cool to be an entrepreneur in hip-hop. And you guys was independent, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, like even with Sick With It Records, like y'all like kind of pioneered that selling out the trunk vibe. And I think even when Master P went to California, and that kind of really inspired him to really, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then you can see the similarities.
Yeah. So what, let's take it back to the beginning stages. What made you go the independent route, and how did that look in the late 80s, early 90s?
Well, you know, being in the Bay Area, we kind of built for that kind of stuff. You know, as a teenager, you know, I had a clothing store, man, you know, on Solano Avenue in Millersville, in Vallejo, California. And I knew I was on my way to being an entrepreneur then, you know, and you know, with music, when we, you know, we actually had to, you know, we ain't had no choice, bro. We didn't have the opportunities that a lot of other rappers, especially New York rappers, bro. Like New York rappers, that's where it's from. So, you know, they had a little easier, no disrespect, just like I'm from a small city. So we had it kind of harder than any city in the Bay Area. I'm from Vallejo, California.
Vallejo.
You know, not Oakland, not San Francisco, not Richmond, Vallejo, you know what I mean? But we Vallejo rock with all soils. But anyway, you know, it was by force, not choice, man. You know, if I had opportunities other rappers had back then, maybe I would have did it, you know? But then again, I was always a businessman, and my Uncle St. Charles taught me well, you know what I'm saying? So I always, if it made sense, if it didn't make good business sense, it don't make sense at all. So that's what I was always told. You know what I mean? So yeah. We did it the right way, man. You know, started off selling the tapes out the trunk of the car on consignment. You know, I'm sure y'all heard this story before of me. And then, you know, when my Uncle St. Charles, you know, having this big book, like an encyclopedia full of addresses that he just put together slowly but surely, day after day, months after months, and put it together. And it was every retailer that dealt with hip hop music in the nation. And he would send out a one sheet along with some CDs and a cassette or whatever at the time and say, hey, if you like this, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and order from this. You had a barcode of our albums on there. It'd have a detailed, how would you say this, like a bio about everything that we had going and where we were from and all this. And he put it together like the weather, man. And so, you know, us with the great music we had, you know, because, you know, all the soils was rocking with us because everything we were speaking, they was living. You know what I'm saying? So we were just the curb commentators, you know, that actually was in it. You feel me? Not no fake shit, you know? So that's how it all unfolded.
In the late 80s, obviously, for the hip-hop era, this is a different type of sound, because Vallejo is obviously a lot different from other parts of California. Who was the musical influence that you're patterning your game after at the time?
As far as CEOs or just rappers at all? But just rappers or CEOs?
Yeah, rappers.
Rappers, I would have to say Too Short, Big Bro, Too Short, MC Hammer. I would say Magic Mike and Calvin T out of Richmond, California. If you're looking at style of rap and the game that they were spitting, it all that stuff combined, you know what I'm saying, that all unfolded. Hammer with his, you know, taking things to a whole nother worldwide stage and just being from the Bay and just letting the whole world feel, everybody know MC Hammer, Too Short, his game, and, you know, his selling, making customized tapes for dudes in the hoods, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. And then, you know, and then it's circulating and everybody dubbing the cassettes just like Calvin T and Magic Mike, and they style, and you know what I'm saying, it's like, it was just game infested. Then, on another note, you know, you got to look at, you know, I grew up listening to Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, Melly Mel, them. Grew up listening to Run DMC. I grew up listening to LL Cool J. KRS-One is a big influence of me. That I love KRS-One. Chuck D. You can say Ice-T for sure. You know what I'm saying? Ice-T. People don't know how gamed up Ice-T really is and really was back then. To this day, that's Bro too. You know what I'm saying? So it's many others, man. So that's what I was. You know, that's what I was watching. I love Luke Skywalker and Jay Prince, you know, for their, you know, CEO status, like being the owner of companies. And they you know, they was up against a lot. Like government was trying to, like everybody, like the states and the states they were in, it was a lot of people against hip hop, and they stood strong on the front line about this culture. People like that mean a lot. You know what I mean? And, we got to give people their roses and their gardens, and, you know what I'm saying, their flowers while they're here, because that's what I'm here to do. Because we ain't going to always be here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how it go, man.
So at what point, one, I want to talk about your spirits business, but even before that, at what point did you realize you need to diversify? Because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a Fat Burger chain.
Remember that? Fat Burger. That's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Had a Fat Burger. Yeah. So at what point
I had a Wingstop that was in motion too. It didn't get built due to the fact that at that time it was 2008, 2009. We was in a recession. And I'll tell you about that story one on a whole nother note, but I was in a lease for 5 years. I went to Texas, you know what I'm saying, and got the contracts done and everything. I was locked in, like had the plans already built out, everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For Wingstop?
For Wingstop. Flatburger was up and running for 3 years alone. Me, my business partner on that was my man, the late Chester McLaughlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you had a Flatburger, and then you was going to get a Wingstop, and then the recession came, and then they just pulled the funding as far as like bank financing?
But the bank financing, at that time, you know, it wasn't about the money. It was just, I had spent like $600,000 of my own cash money on Fatburger. And so, you know, instead of, I had to, on the next round, when I was getting the wings, so I was like, man, let me try to get a loan. It was the wrong time. It was during the recession. It wasn't giving loans, no matter how good your credit was, no matter what you had, no matter what. And I was like, I couldn't get the loan. So I just backed up and just bought myself out of the lease, the 5-year lease, and just had to pay a few dollars and to get out of it. You know, it was money spent that I didn't gain no profit from. But it's okay, you know, because I got bounce back abilities, you know. Mm-hmm. I also had a club, you know, out there in San Jose. It was called the Ambassador's Lounge. Many people came to visit that, you know, from all over. Many, many stars. And my man, Big Von Johnson, KMEL, was the DJ there every Friday. So we had that thing cracking, man. It was going down.
Was the energy drink happening around this time? So 41 is during the time of the Fatburger and the Wingstop potential, or this comes after?
You said energy drink? Oh, you're talking about 40 water?
40 water, yeah.
So I did that with my man Kobe. Kobe got at me. So first of all, before that, when I had my club, the Ambassador's Lounge, I was working on like a hypnotic kind of duplicate. It was going to be called Cloud 9, but that fell through. I didn't get that going because I didn't have all the avenues, you know, licenses. It was a lot of things I didn't know. I wasn't seasoned like I am now. Mm-hmm. And then Kobe had got at me because he already had Hyphy energy drink popping during the Hyphy movement. And he was like, Fody, man, let me show you something. I want to sit down with you. He sat down with me and he showed me the artwork to 40 water, which is a kind of like a vitamin water at the time. And we did that. We made a few dollars and, you know, that kind of, you know, went its way. You know what I'm saying? Because we was getting kind of like, I ain't gonna even lie, we was kind of getting kicked off the shelves by other companies. You know, shit like that happens. You know, your shelf space. They're like, man, they're giving us too much competition. We're going to move them out the way. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that happens. So, but I can't just blame it on that. It's just that went away. That's okay. I didn't have full control of that. You know, I thank Kobe for, you know, coming through with that. But everything I do from here on out, full control of everything, period, and from start to finish, that's when my entrepreneurness kick in, man. You feel me? And, you know, it's many things in the making, man. You dig? I talk your ear off. I love to talk. You better know it. I'm from the Bay. And I'm off the Tycoon Cognac. Hello.
You dig?
You don't say.
So let's get into this as far as 100% ownership. All right. So you're from Northern California.
Vallejo.
Vallejo.
Specifically.
707. The same as the Emerald Triangle in Napa in wine country, Napa Valley, Napa, oh, California, okay. Same area code.
Okay. You're right next door to Napa, which there is the wine country. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, a lot of wine is harvest and is well known for wine. But we don't really see a lot of Black entrepreneurs in the spirit space, especially in the wine space. Wine is like one of these things where it's like a high end. You know, it's a luxury item. Mm-hmm. So, A, how did you get into the wine space? What made you? Because most rappers, it's champagne, it's, you know, it's like vodka, stuff mm-hmm. like that. You don't really see too many rappers championing wine. Like, you know, that's not very commonplace. So what made you get into the wine space? And how did you get into the wine space as a, you know, Black entrepreneur?
Like I said, I'm right next to Napa. It only makes sense. And not only that, but everyone that's followed my music for many years, from the beginning for 33 years, know that all I talk about is wine. I mean, all the time. Like, even if it wasn't mine. Gallo makes a wine called Carlo Rossi, big jug of wine. Everybody's seen it. Every family has had a big jug of wine at their house, you know what I'm saying, during gatherings and stuff. So I used to, you know, my mom used to keep Carlo Rossi around. She had the Rhine, and she would have the Burgundy, and maybe sometime the Chablis. But I took a liking to the Rhine and the Burgundy. And so, you know, at parties and at gatherings and everything, I'm bringing a jug with me. You know, it was to the point where, you know, I'm so soiled. You know, I'm saying I go to Ruth Chris back in the days, you know, and pay the corkage fee. the $15, $20 corkage fee and bring in a big ass bottle of wine, Carlo Rossi wine, red wine, Burgundy, and drink that. And they and my cat, all my dudes be like, man, you got bread? Why you just don't get some high powered ass wine? I say, right now at this moment, I want this. You feel me? I haven't drunk Carlo Rossi, and I love them because they a big influence, Gallo. But I got my own wine now, so I haven't drunk it since I made my own wine, which was 2013.
Yeah.
I got Earl Stevens selections. You know what I'm saying? I'll be on this right here. You feel what I'm saying? This is Earl Stevens selections. Function red blend. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that's brilliant, man. A couple of things you did. Obviously, you branded it and you named it after yourself. Well, the world knew you as E40. They didn't know Earl Stevens, and probably some people still don't know who Earl Stevens is.
Right.
I want to get into why you specifically named it after that. And number two, you went straight to online with selling it before you even hit shelves. So what was the plan behind that?
Well, straight to consumer is like the best thing right now. Like, you're cutting out the liaison. It's like, it's beautiful, And, it's good to have your stuff in the retail stores and all. That's fine. That's better too. But you're cutting out all the hard costs, all that stuff, when you go straight to consumer. So I started off like that, and the demand got really big. It got really big. First of all, I forgot to tell you, I named the wine Earl Stevens because I didn't want to name a wine E40. This just don't sound right for a wine. You know what I'm saying? I figure, you got names out there. People name their wines after their last name or some of the family members or stuff like that. So I was like, let me call it Earl Stevens. That's a square ass name. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hip square, even though I'm ganged up. But Earl Stevens sound, that sound real, kind of luxurious. Earl Stevens. You feel me? So that's why I did. That's why I did that. But getting back to selling it online, did it online, and it just started flying to the point where the demand got so big, where all retailers was asking, "How do we get it?" Thanks to the power of social media, Thanks to the power of social media, I had those requests coming in from all of my fans all over the place, And so also when you sell it online. You can get it delivered directly to your door. You know what I'm saying? And you can be anywhere that accepts, shipping. Some states don't accept shipping, shipping wine and liquor. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I went, man. And so the demand got so big where I had to put it in the retail stores. I had to get a distributor and send it out.
So what is the process of actually having a wine company, because it's like wine, you gotta crush the grapes and all that. So it's like, do you just go to Napa and say, okay, I want, I'll take three whole freights of wine. Is that how they do it? Is it like a wholesaler that's wine and just sells it to different companies and then they just label it?
We got tanks, man. We got tanks. They don't do the stepping on wine with your feet no more. It's all a newer process, but like I said, you got to go sit. I went to go sit with them. Of course, you have to get your license and stuff like that. That's another thing. I first start off with my California license. That's the first thing. Everybody that sells adult beverages, no matter even if it's adult beverages, whatever you is, you want to tap into California first. So I had to take care of that first. After that, I went from state to 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 state. So all these years, that's what I've been doing. People don't know, why are we having it out here? Now I just signed this major distribution company. I just signed this national distribution deal with Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits. Now everyone will start seeing, at least 41 states for now. 41 states. That's a lot for a man that owns his own brand. You understand me? 100%. You feel me? So that's how it unfolded. Then you got to go, you start from, you got to know some, you got to ask questions. All this stuff was not easy. I make it look easy. You got to find out, okay, who is the best person to go do my packaging? So if you look at my packaging, I didn't go get no, just anybody. This is somebody that actually does packaging for major adult beverage companies. Several of them, some that you may not have heard of, some you've heard of several times, So, and I had that company do all my packaging. Then you got different manufacturers, you got your wine manufacturers, Then you got your distilled liquor, which is my Slurricane Hurricane, my Kuiper Belt, stuff like that. Then you got your Sparklings. That's a whole nother facility. These are pieces of puzzle that I put together. Then you got Jalisco, Mexico, you know, the distillery out there for my Ecuadenta tequila, the Blanco Repo and the Añejo. You understand me? And soon to be Extra Añejo with the tall bottle. Then you got your, you know, then you got your cognac. You know, your Tycoon Cognac from Cognac, France, my VS and my VSOP, and then my soon-to-be XO. You understand me? So it's just so many things, and you got to be focused. You got to be dialed in. This is a real business. It's lucrative, and everybody ain't built for it, man. I'm built for this because I've been on my entrepreneur, you understand me, ever since I was about 4. Hello.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm petty fetching. A real fatty fetcher. So, I mean, all I've heard is that you're super involved. So you're actually taking trips to Mexico. You're actually taking trips to France.
Yes, sir.
When you get to these places, are you like sampling, you're tasting, saying, you know what? Nah, this needs something else. Like, what's the process like when you take these trips?
You know, I haven't had to do it too many times. Like, you know, well, I lock it in. And then from there, you send the samples. You mm-hmm. send the samples. Okay, we fine tuning it. We're making sure that we're doing blind taste. We're tasting them against other brands. You know, it's called blind tasting, where you don't know which one you're sipping. There's mm-hmm. been times I've tasted my cognac and my partners. They was right here at this bar when I put this together, like the weather. You understand me? Right here, sitting here, and we was drinking that. I'm not going to say no names of the cognacs, but you can imagine the cognacs that I had the blind taste with. And everybody said, they didn't even know what they was tasting. It was mine. Mine was the best, period. You know? So, and that's the same with my tequila and all the other brands I got.
Yeah, so I want to go back just a little bit. You said Southern Glazer's, obviously that's the largest wine and spirits distributor in the country.
Yeah.
How did that connection happen? Because that is the process where you're now going into the retail space and they're putting on sale. So how did you connect with them?
That's from me. So basically, I was with a company called Landy Cognac as a brand ambassador for about a year or two, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, Landy, they out of France. They needed somebody, and I got this. Excuse me, I got this plug from my from my man Manessa, that had the Beehive and had he was also my business partner at the Ambassador's Lounge in San Jose. And so, you know, when you're dealing with clubs, you know, a lot of bartenders, you know, a lot of liquor companies. So this liquor company, Landy, was like, hey, we need somebody to help us get this out there in the United States, because they were just in France. You know what I'm saying? So we need a better look. And he was, my man, Manessa, was like, you know, I got E40. And they hooked me up. So they came down, we had a meeting. And then they was like, can you get Snoop? So I called Snoop, put Snoop in motion with it. Me and Snoop been rocking for years. You know, you got to realize it's like 2004, somewhere around there. You know what I'm saying? Like many moons ago, you know? So that's when I had my club. And then that's when Landy came. They came around 2000, I think they came around 2008, something like that, years later, right? That's how I go. I'm rewinding everything. So I got with Snoop. Snoop came in. We became brand ambassadors. They didn't work social media like they should have, you know, like they should have been able to do it. And social media wasn't that big. They didn't have Instagram back then. I don't think they had just got it in. It was a few things. So anyway, that didn't work out. So what I did was, when I did my wine, my man Mike, he used to work for them. He was like, I got a spot in Napa that would love to, you could build your wine from the ground up, all yours, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. We put it together. So he went from working at Landy to working at this winery. You know what I'm saying? So then we went from there to when I was selling it online. Remember I told you that the demand got so big, I had to hit the retailers. So in order for me to hit the retailers, I said, let me have a meeting with my man, Steve Harden, over at Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits. So Steve, he brought me in, and I knew him from Landy Cognac. See, that's one thing about when you're a brand ambassador. So that's why I ain't mad at none of these cats as brand ambassadors. You can't be mad at them. They're getting their feet wet. They're analyzing the game. You know what I mean? That's what I did. I sat back. You know what I mean? I was a student of the game, and I soaked up the game like a beach towel. You know what I'm saying? And I stayed with my connection. I told Steve years before I got my own stuff, I said, I'm going to be back to holler at you, man. I'm going to have my own stuff one day. You know, I'm going to have my own stuff. And I did, bro. And he accepted. He came in. I let him taste. At that time, I only had 3 SKUs. I just had the Function Red Blend, the Moscato, and the Mango Scotto. That's all I had. I brought the Slurricane in later, like about a year or two after. But when I brought them in, he tasted them. He was like, let's go. I showed him our online sales. Let's go. I started off with a pallet. I got my pallet went to the first pallet went to Food for Less in Vallejo, California at the time, Food for Less. And then after that, everybody took a picture and sent it to me. I posted it online. Everybody was like, oh my God, Food for Less got it. Woo woo woo. Everybody else started calling Costco, all the stores, all the retailers, all the on-premise, off-premise, you understand me? The general market, the clubs, everybody. They wanted all my product. They wanted that. They wanted the red wine. They wanted the Moscato and the Mango Scotto. The Mango Scotto was a big hit off top, and it still is. It's in a class by itself. It's one of one. And I just took it there, bro. So anyway, so then next thing you know, my man, the guy that's in charge of my portfolio over at Southern Glazed Wine Spirits, his name is Kevin. So Kevin was like, Earl, we're going to see you. We're going to bring in a truckload one day. Watch. I said, well, what's a truckload? He said, 21 pallets. I said, 21 pallets? He said, yeah. I said, that's a hell of them right there. He said, yeah, that's a truckload. It's 56 cases to a pallet, and it's 12 bottles in a case. So, you know what I'm saying? You bring it in a truckload. You're going to bring it. I really brought in a truckload. He said, we come to pick up a truckload. Serve that shit all through California. Because it's 2 branches in California. You got your Northern California, then you got Southern California chapters of Southern Glazed Wine Spirits. So then they ordered a truckload, Southern California. You feel me? So that's how I went. Then from there, it just started cooking. So I started getting my license each state, slowly but surely, bro. And that's how I go. I get excited when I talk about this because it's really remarkable and incredible. And I'm very grateful and thankful. And shout out to all my fans who've been having my back like a masseuse.
For sure.
So, all right. So being 100% owned, you own it 100%. Does that mean that all of the finance, like how you find it, are you financing everything out of your pocket since you don't have any business partners, or do you have bank financing?
Because I started off financing it out of my own pocket. Then once that happens, it's a well-oiled machine. It pays for itself. You know, you got to continue to buy product. You understand me? You got to make sure that you got some terms involved, whether it's 30, 60, 90, 120. You understand me? So that you can flip your money in time. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get paid every 30 days, man. You feel me? Sometimes I might get 7 or 8 checks in one day, every day for a whole week. It just go like that because different people putting in different POs and we invoicing different distributors here and there every time, you know what I'm saying? So that's how it really happened. It really unfolds like this. So like I said, man, it's more to come. I just feel like, you know, I tapped into something that I love to do. Anytime you do, like you guys love to do what you guys are doing, right? Obviously you do, because you wouldn't be doing it and look like y'all have fun doing it. I have fun doing this. I have fun doing music. I have fun cooking. I got food products coming. I have fun doing startup company. I do it all. You feel me?
So yeah, I want to get to the angel investment. But before that, let's take a hip hop moment. So you've started a lot of trends that people might not be aware of.
A lot of language, a lot of slang.
It's called your favorite rapper.
That's a fact. For Shizzle.
YOLO. That's the motto. That's the motto. YOLO. Like so many different words that you came up with. Like how did you come up with language, and have you ever thought about actually making like a dictionary
I might have got this. I'm glad you just said that, because Ebonics, I felt like that might have, did that come from you?
nah. Just the word Ebonics. I don't know who came up with Ebonics, but you know, it do start with an E, so it might as well be me. Hell no. Nah, so you know, man, let me tell you something. I'm just a unique person. Like even my people out here in Northern California trip on me. I'm comedy and I'm from the streets. So I just put my own shit to shit. You know what I'm saying? I I make up a lot of stuff, don't get it twisted, but a lot of stuff I do get from the soils, not no rappers, like the soils. And if I do get it from a rapper, I always get that rapper some dapper. You know what I'm saying? I always let them know, like such and such said, like this guy said, you know what I mean? That's how you cover your ass with that shit, you know? But far as, you know what I'm saying? Because you know how that shit goes. So anyway, but far as me being from the Bay, we out here with that shit, man. We out here with that ism. Motherfuckers got mouthpieces, man. We spit them LRPs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gamed up university out here. I'm not the only one. You should hear some of my OGs. They sharper than a porcupine spine. You know what I'm saying? They extremely gamed up, you know? But I am a unique person, and as far as this rap game, when it comes to slang, it's me. Everybody know that. Hands down.
That's a fact. And like Fizz I said, it's like,
that's a Fizz Naive.
Fizz Naive. But even like the YOLO thing, which is so I respect that Drake actually.
Nah, YOLO ain't me. I say YOLA.
Oh, YOLO. I thought YOLA. YOLO was you.
Nah,
is that Drake?
I say YOLA. YOLA means candy, ice cream. You know, YOLA mean yowder. You get my drift? YOLA mean booger sugar. You know what I'm saying? YOLA mean nasal candy, man. The YOLA mean blow. You know, that's YOLA. You know, that's what we call white lobster. You understand me? You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk over the thing. You know, I said I'm trying to throw the twist in the thing. You dig? So that's what that means. It's just another word for that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. You feel me?
I thought YOLO, because he did say, like, rest in peace, Mac Dre.
I'm going to do it for the bag. I think it was homage.
Just pay homage.
No, he was just showing homage to Mac Dre on that. No, yo, the word YOLO is not me. I'm YOLA. You understand me?
Different.
YOLA, ice cream candy. Man, this shit be coming in handy. You feel me? That's me.
Mm-hmm. How was it coming from the, like, I feel like, you know, like you just, when you speak of the Bay, you speak of E-40, like he's like the king of the Bay. So how is it coming from a smaller town? Did you ever get any pushback from Oakland, or being that you wasn't from Oakland, but I feel like you still get associated with Oakland, like, you know what I mean? Like E-40, like it's all the Bay Area. Like, how is that coming up?
Well, what it is in Oakland, we got so many. I got family in Oakland. I got so many partners from the streets, and all my partners from the streets know the V in Oakland. Like we connect. Like even Vallejo, the V, which is we call Vallejo the V in Richmond. You know what I'm saying? We close. Like all of us, we all know partners and shit like that. And so being from the streets, you know, we all knew a lot of I knew a lot of people from Oakland. A lot of people knew my crew. You know what I'm saying? And so. But don't get it fucked up. We had to pay our dues. We had to let people know Vallejo's here to stay. And you understand me? You can ain't nothing gonna stop us. Vallejo, we got a test of fortitude, you know, self-esteem, bro. We was ambitious. We was ambitious and you know, we knew we had talent. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just saying me, I'm talking about the whole V. I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and down a list of so many great rappers from Vallejo. But
she's from Vallejo.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Her. Yeah.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Yep. Her doing her thing. She's straight from the V too. And she let people know she's from the V.
Yeah, she read the heart.
She's from Vallejo. You understand me? I love that. Cause we're small. Now, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. People like Confunction, myself, Mac Dre, The Click, you know, many others. We made CC Sabathia, you know what I'm saying? People like that, you know, it's so many, bro. We made it, you know, really really good to say, I'm from Vallejo with your chest out. Like, you understand me? Like, you know, it's the V. Like, we made it good to be from Vallejo. Everybody scream that now. When you from the V, I'm from Vallejo. I ain't from nowhere else. I'm from the V. You understand me? No. But they accepted us. Oakland, all the other cities accepted us. Cause we all rock together. That's what we do. You feel me? So
you know what's interesting is that when you were just talking about MC Hammer, I'm glad that you brought him up because people forget how legendary he was. But for us growing up, I feel like, especially on the East Coast, it was like, that ain't rap. But I remember who said that? Like, play with Hammer if you want. He gonna bust your ass.
Like rap bars? Or
like outside of rap. Like he
oh,
like
on the street. No, he's by far not no sucker at all. Yeah. Like, I ain't no sucker, man. Just because he wore, you know, baggy pants when he danced, you know, that was, you got to remember, that was 35 years ago. You know, that's okay. That don't make you or break you, man. Let me tell you something, man. A square would beat your ass. I'm not calling a hammer a square. I'm just saying a square will beat your ass. You can, you know what I'm saying? You just, that quiet person that don't bother nobody will put blenders on you, boy. You know what I'm saying? Put blenders on you, mix you up real good. You feel me?
that is a fact.
The whole world, everybody that's watching in the huddle, seeing this square, whoever a square is, and this bully trying to bully them, man, bullies get their ass kicked all the fucking time. And just always remember, it's always somebody out there tougher than you. I don't give a fuck how many hot ones you got up under your belt. There's somebody that got plenty more. And what I mean by hot ones is bodies. You feel me? Trust that. There's always somebody tougher than you. Trust that, buddy. Anyway, but Hammer is a great guy, man. You know, that's the big bro. And anybody got something bad to say about him is just, you know, it hate come with the plate. You know what I'm saying? And, you know.
I think people appreciated Hammer after, because they realized how many people he put on and how much he did for his community
that. And because you filed bankruptcy, it don't mean that you broke. Just know that, y'all. That's protecting your businesses, your LLCs, your S-Corps, whatever you got going on, your personal, your personal estate, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, this man, you know, when he filed for that, you got to remember how many people he was taking care of. His crew was about 50 people. All get per diem and shit. When he eat, they got to eat, like hotels, all this, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he did a great job, man. Worldwide, he did his thing. And so, you know, and right now to this day, people, you know, you can pocket watch a motherfucker pocket, but you never know what Hammer got because he ain't broke. Don't get it fucked up. He's in tech and all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
He's a legend. I remember when he went on tour, he was like one of the first dudes to get a deal with Pepsi. He had his own cartoon.
Taco Bell. He did a bunch of stuff, man.
A lot of stuff. That's why I brought it up, because it's very interesting to see a Bay legend look at him, obviously another Bay legend, and still give him homage at the time where it was like, Hammer, is that real? But that's dope, though. I appreciate that.
I used to see Hammer coming out of Felton Pilot Studio. When I'm coming out of me, Be Legit, and D-Shot, and Sugar, when we coming out of Felton Pilot Studio and James Early Studio out there on Sonoma Boulevard in the V, Hammer would be coming in, and he always treated us cool. What's up with it? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Him and his crew coming in with troop jackets and shit. And we like, oh, that's Hammer, man. What's up, man? You know what I'm saying? And he going in for his studio session. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was always love, man. We just like some little dudes on the totem pole. You know what I'm saying? We ain't there yet. You know what I'm saying? We recording. So he always been solid, not salad. And I hope that other rappers pay homage to other rappers in the future. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing. People don't want to give up no dap. They think that they're gonna be on forever. You know, some of the youngsters, some of the older ones, like a lot of older rappers from my class. You know, they didn't keep their foot on the gas. You know, you can't never be relaxed. And another thing, don't call nobody. And I'm not saying everybody know I'm a half a hundred, man. But I carry it well, man. You know, so I'm the best thing since the washing machine. You did, you know. But I'm just saying, don't say, oh man, he hella old. Cause nigga, in a few months, nigga, you go in a few years, 5-6 years go about down the line, nigga, you old to the new rappers, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Like it just go like that, you know? So stop saying, don't say that. Don't say that, cause nigga, you gonna be ancient one day. Nigga, but see if you can, you know, have that longevity. That's the thing.
I feel like we're like the only culture that looks down on old, but it's like, it's a blessing to become elder. Like being an elder is actually a blessing, and to grow old is a blessing. And like, we always reference that, but that's a huge line that Sheik Luke said, you're going to be older a lot longer than you're going to be younger. That's just a fact. So it's like, even with hip hop music, you know, a lot of times we devalue the legends and the people that come before. Cause it's like, oh, they old. Like, how does that devalue the music? That's like saying Diana Ross.
We don't do that to the Rolling Stones.
No, not even R&B, like jazz, every other genre of music is still celebrated. How do you feel about that? Like, I feel like it's starting to change now, but like Nas winning the Grammy, shout out to Esco. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's dope to see him win a Grammy after all these years. He should have been one, but how do you feel about that?
Seasoned veterans are getting more money than ever, getting more popular. I'm probably bigger than I ever been at these days. And then I'm older now. You know, I'm you know, like I say, I'm a half a century. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Plus, you dig? And so, you know, I think that now that word old was hanging around for a while, like, oh, he old. When I turned 40, they were like, oh, he old. I didn't think people thought I was gonna stop after that. But it's like, ain't no limit to this, because I ain't slacking in my Mackin on my microphone candy, the way I spit it. You understand me? I'm not like, ain't nothing ancient about me. I don't look ancient. I don't carry myself ancient, you know. You know, and as long as you got to turn with the times, or the times gonna turn on you. When you want to keep your vintageness, you're able to do that if you kind of like keep your eye on the ball and find a happy medium to rap over certain beats. You know, like my song "I Stand on That" with Jordan Lucas and T.I. Y'all go listen to that. See the sick ass gas I got on that. wrote every flow, wrote everything to it. You understand me? Matter of fact, I was the one who started the flow off. Then I sent it to Joyner. Joyner say, "Fowdy, nigga, you killed this shit." And it made Joyner even come harder, even though he already hard. Then T.I., then we sent it to T.I. T.I. got a hold to it and killed that shit. So it's like, I set the bar. You know what I'm saying? My verse set the bar for it. Mine was first. I let Joyner go. Joyner went first. You understand me? Joyner killed that shit. He got a cold fan base, and that's a cold man right there. He's gonna be going down to the greats. Trust me when I tell you that. Anyway, I'm just saying that you gotta be versatile, man. You gotta turn with the times, or the times gonna turn on you, but you gotta also be you, and that's me.
You did. Let's get in this angel investing conversation. So, all right, you have an impressive portfolio of companies that you have invested in. One in particular that people might have heard of.
Maybe.
Clubhouse.
Perhaps.
Early invested in Clubhouse. So I want to talk about Clubhouse specifically, but before that, when did you get into angel investing? The place, actually, I'm just thinking about it. Napa Valley, Silicon Valley. Yep. So when did you get into investing startup companies and angel investing?
2016 was my first. I put like 100,000 in like I think five companies, and I did that. And partner Supreme Syndicate, Supreme Partners Syndicate, with me, Chameleonaire, Big Boy, Trey Songz, many others, right? We got one syndicate, and we've done that same thing a few times. So ended up being, you know, right now, as of right now, like my man Chameleonaire, he could have brought the whole syndicate. He could have got in Clubhouse too, but you know, they would have had him. He didn't want to leave out the whole syndicate. My personal relationship, you know, how I got in with Clubhouse was my own situation. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, When you move around and you, because it's all about networking, you know what I'm saying? And if you're around certain people, things like that happen to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it ain't about who you know, it's who know you. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's about who know you. You know. So anyway, to make a long story short and a short story long. I had got into, I'm in so many startups, like I'm just waiting. We just waiting, you know, you kick back because it's a dice game, you know, you're rolling the dice and you know, just that one company that you think ain't going to be the one that you ain't even studying, you know, I'm old school. Oh, I mean, I ain't studying that one. You know what I'm saying? That one you ain't even studying, right? Can end up being the one that go for, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, 10 billion. You know what I'm saying? And you put your elbows in that thing, you feel me? And next thing you know, you get that call and you like, it's time to drink up the whole bar behind me. You dig? So this is what it's about. So, you know, Clubhouse is a good one. You know, Clubhouse is a good one. I think that many people, it's a new platform, an audio platform for people to just, you know, get some game, you know, get some game, because, you know, but everybody on Clubhouse ain't that, everybody that's that's on, you know, you got people that really know the business, like they had Eli on there, Eli Musk, you know what I'm saying? They got real top passing tycoons on that motherfucker. Then you got some people that just like get on there and just talk that shit like they just know everything and ain't got shit going on. But that's everything. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Facebook, that's all that shit. But Clubhouse is the new platform, man. I can't see it going no other place. It might be other companies that's out there that's trying to probably duplicate it. I mean, have anybody duplicated Instagram yet? You know, think about it. No.
So I'm wondering, obviously, it's Clubhouse started as a Silicon Valley way for tech people to talk about ideas. So were you close with a founder or somebody on the inside? Because it was invite only at that time. How'd you come in contact with it? The app itself.
Just being around it, man. Let me tell you something. People used to trip like Fody. You know, somebody called me one day and said, Fody, hey man, who's your contact over at the Warriors, man? How do you you know, how would I get complimentary seats? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, brother. What you mean complimentary? I don't get complimentary seats, brother. I said, I pay for mine. So while I'm spending all that money getting these seats, you understand me? I'm promoting myself. You know, you can't get no better marketing. I'm courtside. I'm having the time of my life, me and my wife. You understand me? I might bring my partners. You know what I'm saying? You know, and, you know, we running into everybody, billionaires and all kind of, you understand me? Especially when you're a good person like me, man, I hug folks. I kiss the babies, you know, shake hands. You know, just I'm a loving person. I'm a people's person. You know, understand me? So I'm the thrill of the party, man. When I step in, people gather around me like a, you understand me, like a taco truck. Hello, yeah. You know. So
every front and center during those 2006, those Warrior
triple referee.
Yeah, he was called you Chameleon. I feel like Ben Bola. All y'all. I mean, you could not.
But E-40 was a staple because it was they was playing. Who were they playing?
Cleveland, probably.
No. It was like him versus somebody. And it was like Sports Center was always showing. Like,
it was when we used to play Houston, Travis Scott now.
Travis. Yeah.
So them dudes, Travis, them be talking Big Rocco, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. It's like, nigga, we the Warriors, though, boy. You feel me? So Cam is my folk. So Cam, so I got Cam to come. He would, man, I don't want to be all, I ain't tripping on that. I said, I know you low key, man, but. You know, we in this tech world, bro. This where it's at. This where everybody at. And you can have fun, and you're gonna be able to, you know, promote yourself so they can see you on a. You know, when you see somebody courtside, like when I seen Top Dog from TDE, I tell Top Dog this all the time. I like to see him at the games, the Clippers. You know, he'll be over there with the TDE hat, just being himself courtside. I call him Top Dog. I see you, my guy. You know what I'm saying? Really? I was juiced. You know, so I imagine the people that see me several times sitting right next to the Warriors bench. Now, you understand me?
You know what? You bring up a good point that I never really thought about before, but it's a great marketing tool because even Chameleonaire, you know, when people saw him courtside at that finals game and it was like the tickets was like $20,000, it was crazy. And they like, it was a joke of like, yo, his last hit was 10 years ago, but then it wasn't a joke anymore. Surprise. Because now it started to come out that he's been an angel investor and he's invested in all these different companies. And then ever since then, that kind of cemented him as like in the culture as like, you know, a go-to person as far as like angel investing and all that. But that probably would have never came out because he's real quiet. It would have never really came out unless he was actually at that game. That
unless,
one game.
Unless he brought him to the game.
I brought him to the game. We see when you a lot of times when you buy tickets, you got to buy them in twos and threes. You understand me? So, you know, if it's a Houston game, I say, go on to get those two tickets. I'm going to fly out there. He'll buy them. And then I just pay him as soon as I put it in his bank account. I'll just give it to him right there, check or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Right then and there. And I do the same. When he say, I'm going to come out there, going to give me the seed. Now I get in, and then he reimburse me. That's how you got to do it. You can't just go buy one individual seat. That's very rare, especially to sit where you want to sit courtside. You understand what I'm saying?
Legendary. So he was with you that game?
Yeah. See, all them games, he was when we was together. Yeah.
Changed the game.
Yeah.
So we gotta have
courtside. That's what I'm thinking. Like, we gotta be sitting courtside because not only is it a marketing tool, but it's a networking tool. Because like you said, now you bumping shoulders with billionaires and millionaires. And the team treats you like you're part of the team. I see everybody running over to you after
especially
the game.
Especially if you're in these cities like San Francisco.
When it's clicking, yeah.
Or Miami or New York or like L.A., Atlanta. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of movers and shakers in that realm.
It's a stamp. You know what else that courtside thing did? It actually, I felt like after I saw a Chameleon there, then I felt like tech became a thing in the NBA. And so now it turned me on to the knowledge that Andre Iguodala had. And it was like, wait, this guy's big in the tech space and he's in the Warriors. And then Steph got into the tech space. And I was like, oh, okay. Just from just seeing you guys there at the game. So that's dope. So my question is there a criteria that you have when you're looking for new businesses, new startups to invest in?
Well, you gotta, first of all, the main thing is, and Cam taught me this a long time ago, make sure that there's some reputable people that's already in the investment. Some people that most likely have some experience in being in the tech world, whether they're, you know, starting it up, being the owner of the particular app or whatever it is, or the company, you know what I'm saying, that you're getting into, or, you know, just it just has to be ideal, something that'll change the world, because that's what we into. The companies we're trying to get into is something that'll change the world. You understand me? And it's a lot of them out there. So getting in early is always the best, early stage, you know? It's always the best. People don't even know I was in Ring, me and Cam. We was in Ring, you know? And
I was in Ring.
We didn't get in early on that one, but we did, you know, it's great for my portfolio, and we did well. We got in just a few months before they, you know what I'm saying, got acquired. But I wish we would have got in earlier.
Yeah, Nas was
well, let me ask you this. But there's a lot of companies like that we are in early.
You had a lot of artists that's getting into the tech space, whether it's Nas or Queensbridge Capital, mm-hmm. I think that's the name of it, right?
Nas been in it.
Jay-Z, Marcy, Pincher, something like that. You guys have a syndicate. This is interesting. So
right.
You said you, Chameleon Air, Trey Songz, and a few other people.
Big boy.
So what's the name of it and how did that come about? Like, how did that come about as far as like putting a syndicate together? How'd that come about?
Cam. Chameleon Air. That's who, you know, when I first got my, you know, when I cut my gums into the tech world, you know, it was my man Cam that woke my game up to it. You know what I'm saying? And so he put the syndicate together and was like, and there's others too involved, you know, we all put our money in a pot, we go for it.
How do you have like a set amount of deals that you try to get every year with the syndicate, or is it just like,
yeah, we get updates every Cam give us updates. Man, we in so many companies, I won't even reveal the companies that we are in early stage, and great companies that billionaires are in, like, I let Cam, you know, do, he's the one who driving the car, because he's focused. This all he focused. He don't even want to do music. I got a verse from him. I got a verse when he came to the crib about a couple of years ago. I got a cold verse from him. I ain't put it out, but he ain't even tripping on no music. And Cam, you got to realize, Cam never stopped doing music when he was at the bottom. He was still on the top, but he chose to, you know what I'm saying? This boy chose to, you know, do this other thing. This thing, you know, this Silicon Valley thing, this tech thing, this, you know what I'm saying? So that's what he focused on. And I was like, man, I wish I was in some of the ones he got in early and I would have listened, you know, but I, you know, a little bit before 2016. So it's been 5 years. I've been on it. And that's not bad from a dude from Magazine Street, the 1300 block. You understand me? Vallejo, California, man. You dig?
I'm taking notes. So if I see the name Earl Stevens, or if I'm going to get Chameleon his real name. If I see those people as angel investors, probably a good space to get into.
But you won't see the syndicate.
Oh, the syndicate.
Well, that's like John Henry. He told us with the cap table. And he was like, if you see like a Sequoia Capital is a real big player in the space. He's like, if you see like people like this already in the company, that's like a green, like that's like code green, like go for it, because you already know that these people they're not stupid. They're not just going to be
not spending money for nothing.
Interesting.
Shout out to
what's the name of the ticket?
I got a shout out because I used to see them at the games as well. Ben and Felicia Horowitz, they top hats in this shit, and they. You know, and they always been cool. And you know, when you greet, you see people like that. You know what I'm saying? You meet people like that at the games, and you know, you're with the owners. Like I was hanging out with the owners at the games, and you know, just a little bit of everybody in the Silicon Valley world. And being there, I mean, you know, you just around it. How can you not get in it? You know?
Now that's a fact. Networking is extremely important. And especially if you are privileged enough to have, you know, that type of access where mm-hmm. it's like a lot of artists, entertainers. I remember Floyd said this once. He was like, you know, I hang around billionaires. He's like, it's not just good enough for me to hang around a billionaire and put me on his jet. I want to know, how did you get the jet? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't bring me around just as a token, you know what I'm saying, entertainer that's like just my friend.
Right.
Nah, you got to actually educate me, because if not, then what am I here for? Like, why do we have a relationship?
Well, you got to ask. You're supposed to ask questions when you're around greatness and when you're around billionaires and however you want to say it, you know what I'm saying? It's because you have to be a student of the game. And a lot of times, they don't even have to teach you. You can just learn just by being a student of the game, observing. A lot of interns are millionaires and billionaires because they were students of the game. They kicked back and soaked up game like a beach towel. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Do you guys have a name for your syndicate, or is it just like y'all just do
Supreme
it?
Partners.
Supreme Partners.
I think I do hear you say that.
I like that. Let me ask you this. Being from the Bay Area, we interviewed somebody, shout out to Romeo Brown, he's an actor from Oakland. He was saying as far as like the gentrification that's going on, specifically he was talking about Oakland, but like, and he had a theory that like a lot of the sports teams that's moving out of Oakland, that's kind of like done intentionally to kind of like disrupt the city, kind of bring the morale down a little bit and then make way for gentrification. So what is your thoughts? Because I've been watching, you know, I watch a lot of these documentaries and stuff like that. And I see that, you know, the Bay Area is becoming heavily gentrified, especially Oakland, because it's right next door to San Francisco, which is the highest real estate market in the country, even higher than Manhattan. And it's a very small area. So what is your thoughts on gentrification, especially in the Bay Area? And what is your thoughts on sports teams leaving the Bay? I know you're a huge sports fan. So what's your thoughts on that?
So, you know, you know, everybody want, you know, now we have the Chase Center now in Frisco, Barnes, where the Warriors play, which is a beautiful stadium. But we all wish it was still at the Oracle, you know, in Oakland, you know, because that's where the great times were at. And those can truly come back. But the access to all the Oakland fans that used to be at them games, you know, they used to, you know, it was closer to get there. Now you got to go over the bridge and it's a lot of traffic and this, that, and the third. But that is what it is. And, you know, as the days go by, we'll get used to it. And, things will get back, you know, but at the same time, gentrification, that's been happening for many years before we were even born. You know, y'all know that. You know what I mean? And it's crazy because, you know, if your pockets ain't all the way, like my house on Magazine Street, I remember I checked up on the house I grew up in on Magazine Street on the 1300 block. I remember that thing in 2009. It was like 77 thou wow. Three bedroom. It's very small, very 1,200 square feet or some shit to total. You know what I'm saying? It was like 77 thou wow, right? And I looked at that thing now. That thing worth like dang near half a ticket, man. and it ain't nothing big about it. Just hella trees in front of it. You understand what I'm saying? And that's it. So it's like 77th hour out, and now that motherfucker up to half a ticket. So it's crazy. Even in the soils, the trenches, the octagon, the smudge, it's still the same thing. You feel me? it's now they just, it's like it's the prices are so high. Like, come on, man. Is $1 million really worth $1 million nowadays? No, it's about 630 thou, huh? Probably, you know. Yeah. Think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you told them before, don't buy $80,000 car before you buy a house.
Don't do it. Get you some property, man. Get you some property, and it don't have to be a brand new home. You could buy something cool. You know, just something that you can fix up. A lot of people got talents. They know how to, you know, refurbish and remodel homes. They can do it on their own. You know, they might have an uncle that's what they do for a living, to come do that shit for them. You know what I'm saying? You flipping houses. I got a few partners that flip houses, man. They doing well, man. They money is working for them, man. You know, their money is working for their money, man. You feel me? It's just a well-oiled machine. And real estate is some of the best stuff you can get into, man. Always buy a piece of the earth, man. That's always, you know, that's always a plus, you know?
Yeah. Can we continue on with your diversification? One of your passions, and I don't think many people know about that, is cooking. The Goon, yeah. Goon himself. So can we talk about your venture into the restaurant business with the Lupia company?
Lupia company. Yeah, man. So in the Bay Area, there's many Filipinos out here, and we grew up with them. I mean, I played sports with them, went to school Filipinos. Like, some of my best friends is Filipino. Like, this is just how it go, man, out here in the Bay, because we're very diverse in the Bay Area. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, so I had an opportunity. I always liked it, Lumpy. I used to always tell my wife, you understand me, since I was a young mustache, I used to always tell her, you know, we all love Lumpia. One day I want to get a company, you know, that sell Lumpia, and I want it to be either a walk-up or a drive-through, you know, because one day I want it to be a drive-through. Keep the menu limited, you understand me? And just pull up, I want a 20-piece, I want a 50-piece, and that's all you can get. 100, that's the family size, whatever, you understand me? So
Lumpia? Yeah.
What is it? So Lumpia, let me tell you what Lumpia is. Lumpia is like a egg roll. But it's not an egg roll. It's a certain wrap, very known in the Filipinos. You know, this is a Filipino dish, and you know, traditional lumpia is with pork. They got the Shanghai as well. They got pork, beef. You know, you can do shrimp and pork. Like, you know, we do non-traditional and we do traditional lumpia. We got pepperoni pizza lumpia. We have Philly cheesesteak lumpia. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go in, bro, and it go crazy. We got my lumpia. Mine is called the Earl Special, which is ground turkey with veggies in it. Okay. You understand me? Yeah. And you fry it for 4 minutes at 350. Get your grease height at 350. Or you can air fry it. You know what I'm saying? It don't take but a hot second, man. You understand me? And you can do different dippings. You use the number one dip that can fit any lumpia is the sweet chili sauce.
I was just gonna say, I ran into that. The Thai chili sauce is great on that.
Yeah, exactly, my guy. You know, so, you know, and we're doing very, very well for one spot, small spot, but, you know, it's gonna be a franchise very soon. And I got connected with my man, Alex Rotolo, Chef Alex, from my guy, E-Rock, which is a DJ from the Bay Area. He got one of these, he got a sick with a tattoo, everything. You know, I watched him grow up as a youngster. You know, you can find E-Rock, you know, he's about to be back in Vegas. You know, find him up on the big lights, the big jumbotrons and the big billboards out there in Las Vegas, because he DJs out there, you know, along with, you know, DJ Francis. You know, DJ Francis is Filipino too. So we've been around these cats for many moons. But anyway, make a long story short, DJ, I told DJ E-Rock, I said, E-Rock, I called him, I said, man, I need to get some. Well, why don't get some lumpia at, man? You know what I'm saying? And he hooked me up with Alex. He said Alex had got me some lumpia. It was phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? So from then I was like, hey man, let's do some stuff.
Nah, so you started a Filipino restaurant.
Well, he started it, and I came in. It was the perfect match, and I came in. I put my Gouda in, and you know, and we was off to the races.
No, I love that. The reason why I love that is because it's like sometimes a lot of times black people, we get boxed in, like we can only do soul food, or we can only do. But why? Like if somebody from Asia can have Kennedy's fried chicken and sell us fried chicken, why can't we sell Asian food?
That's right. That's right.
Don't box us.
You know, so you know, along with the Lumpia Company, I also have the Goon with the Spoon. That's my handle. The Goon with the Spoon, you know. And I got that's some soil shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can imagine a dude from in the trenches, you understand me, fucking around with the spoon and the gumbo pot. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I'm the Goon with the Spoon, man. I got all kind of dishes I make, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, let me tell you something. I done had some of my chef partners say, they say, man, 40, man, you got to cut it out, man. I say, why? What'd I do? My wife was like, you a chef. And I'm sitting up here looking at 40 page, and why you don't make this for me? Because my food look good, man. I make food how I want it to taste. You know, and some people might say, man, you gonna eat all that food, man? This, that, the third, man. That's not, man, dude. I'm cooking, man. You don't leave me alone. I'm mind your business, bro. I don't go back for twos and threes and thirds, even though my food that good. But when you get older, you don't eat as much as you used to. You know, when we was young, you know, our appetites was sick. Playing sports and shit, we'd go get three or four, go back three or four times. Here I come again. You know what I'm saying? You know, only thing keep weight on me, man, is this just adult beverages. I'm really a skinny man inside. You know what I'm saying? I'm really supposed to be skinny. And I weighed a 175 in high school, dripping wet. You understand what I'm saying? Then I ended up getting the baller belly, man. You understand me?
Being a food that tastes good, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. But you have your own noodles. Courtesy of our alumni, Master P.
Oh, shout out to Master P.
Yeah, you know what? Corey, we got it right here.
You got the noodles?
Of course we got the noodles.
The only way.
The only way. We got the noodles.
Yeah, so that's my man.
It's been going on for years, huh? You and P.
So here's the deal. My man P, you know, him and my man James, they got Rap Snacks. They've been having it for years. And so they wanted to do noodles. So they was like, I'm gonna do icon. They wanted nothing but icons on there. So James had asked P, who you want to put on? He was like, man, put Fawdy on there. He said, put a little Boozy and put me. You know what I'm saying? And I love P for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lucrative situation too, you know? So P and them, that's them. Rap Snacks, that's Master P and my man James. You know what I'm saying? So hey, I'm glad to be part of it. I have my own products coming out under the Goon with the Spoon, so stay tuned. You should start seeing that pretty soon. It's not noodles. We're not in this for competition. We in it to, you know, broaden our you know, everything, our portfolio. So I got other things coming in. Mine is more or less like frozen foods and stuff like that. Shit you can heat up in the microwave and stuff like that. You understand me? So stay tuned. You know, like I got the Goon with the Spoon, that logo, it's a reason. It's always a method for my madness. When I'm cooking all that kind of stuff, I'm just really pretty much branding myself, showing people, getting them subliminally. Like when you see a McDonald's sign, check this out. My little niece, many years ago, she was with my mama. I'm in the car. Me and moms, we in the car. We headed somewhere. And my niece is in the back seat. She ain't nothing but 1 year old. She can barely talk. She see the McDonald's sign and she like, eat, 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 eat. And mom, I said, Moms, what's she talking about? She said, she see the McDonald's. She wants some French fries. She see the McDonald's sign. She just seen the logo. That's all. That's all she knew. She just knew that's what she wanted to eat. So that's why I'm putting that logo, Goon with the Spoon, on all my, every time I cook, you're going to see that Goon with the Spoon logo. Therefore, subliminally, it's going to be self-subliminal in everybody's mind. So when they start seeing my products in these convenience stores, when they see them in Costco's and Walmart's and Sam's and Safeway's and Albertson's and so on and so forth, they're going to say that's 40 shit right there.
Hey, before we wrap, I want to ask you a question about another Bay Area, kind of a Bay Area legend, Bay Area transplant, but a legend that you were friends with, Tupac Shakur. I believe you're the first person that we've ever spoken to that actually had a relationship with Pop. Right? Mm. Master P.
Master P.
P, yeah.
Tupac. How did you meet Tupac and how was Tupac? Like, we just, you know, Tupac died when we was young, but we just, you know, he's a legend and we just admire him from afar. We never got a chance to actually, you know, meet him or anything like that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see so many different personalities in one body. How was Pac as a person?
Man, he was cool. You know, Pac, you know the terminology, real recognize real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how Pac was. Real recognize real, brother. So just by, you know, my music and Tupac, you know, being from out here and being gamed up, you know, we popping back in the early 90s. Forgot what album was that was. I think it was Strictly for My Niggas. One of them albums, and he had shouted out E-40 and the Click. E-40 and the Click, which is a group that I started off with and still in, because it's my family. It's my brother, it's my sister, and it's my cousin, Be Legit. You understand me? So we called the Click. So he shouted out, shout out to E-40 and the Click. You understand me? Before I even met him, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, not too long after that, believe this was 92, Richie Rich from Oakland, he been new Pop, you know what I'm saying? And so I seen Rich at I think it was Juneteenth out there in Dixon or Davis, somewhere out there, and he was like, Fody, man, I meant to tell you, Pop wanted me to give you his number. I said, huh? He said, he said, Tupac wanted me to give you his number. He said, call him. I said, for real? And, you know, I just always thought that was just hella cool for Richie to just to give me that number and to, you know what I'm saying, to start that dialogue. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, right on, folks. And I called him the next day, and we talked, and we just started building a relationship. Next thing you know, we met up. And next thing you know, every time I go to the studio, he there. And when I'm in L.A., he in L.A., when he in the Bay, we kicking it. Like, it became solid, not salad. You know what I'm saying? We started doing music together. My biggest album, which is In a Major Way. I'm on his biggest album, which is All Eyes on Me.
That's why we got it up.
There you go, right there. Yep. You know? So, man, it's a blessing, man. You know, and he did, like I always say, he did so much in so little time. He died at 25. Just imagine all that stuff he did outside of the vocal booth. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude, imagine the movies and how much he'd be making a movie if he was living, because he was good in acting.
Yeah,
he was
great.
A good actor. Yeah. You know, it might be getting 20, 30 million a movie or something, you know? You never know. Yeah. So.
I got one last thing. So yeah. The spirits industry, I know you got the wine, you got the ready-to-made drinks. I saw tequila, I saw cognac, I saw bourbon. Is vodka in the horizon, gin?
What else? Yeah, yeah, they're doing my vodka. I had a mold made for my vodka. I wanted to be frosted, not, you know, I wanted to have a different frost to it. And so that's in Europe now. So those bottles are about to be on the way. The vodka is called Tycoon Vodka. I have all the closures, everything already ready. The shipper is already ready at the warehouse. All they need to do is just get here and set up a production date with my distiller. Yeah. And bottle them things and you know, get my POs from my distributor, and we rocking and rolling, baby. That ain't gonna take a second.
I want you to take a look at the shelf, man. There's still space for some top two.
Don't make me fill up that whole shelf, man. You don't have no room for nothing. I got to get y'all some of this Equid into tequila, the best tequila in the world. I'm not playing. Anybody that tastes my tequila, if you don't like it, you just a straight out, flat out hater, because you don't want to like it. You just don't like me for no reason. You might not like me because one of your partners is a rapper and you want me to go away, and it's your partner still might not make it. You know what I'm saying? This is how that shit be going, bro, for real. Like, I ain't getting nothing to nobody. I mind my business and stay out the way so I won't get in the way. You understand what I'm saying?
Hey.
But anyway, to make a long story short, I got to get y'all some of this Copper Bell bourbon, too. You dig?
Yeah.
You
know, this we're going to put it right next to the noodles.
Put it right next to the noodles. The mango scotto. Hello. any of this, man. Cotton candy, sparkling wine, man. You know, we're going, we go on and on forever, man. Slurricane, Hurricane, you know, Earl Stevens Prosecco, Earl Stevens Prosecco Rosé, straight from Veneto, Italy. Hello.
So, are you going to put out a dictionary at any point?
No, sir. No, they've been trying to get me to do that for years. You know, slang just keeps coming. It's just like, it's, I always say I'm probably do an app, but that's time consuming and things just keep switching. It's like, it ain't no need for me. I'm like, you know, it's cool. I'm just, hey man, the game is to be spread it, man. So I spread it out.
No, you know what I just thought about? You up on the NFT, you're in the tech space. You're up on the NFT wave. I'm assuming you know about that, right? NFTs?
Yeah, yeah. That's been brought up a lot in my interviews lately. And, you know, we still trying to work that out, trying to figure out that, you know, that whole NFT thing and see what I want to do. Because I know I have a lot of interesting things that can probably, you know, go crazy with the NFT in the NFT world.
You know what I just thought about? It would be dope. If you had a scroll, a virtual scroll of like 10 or 20 sayings with the sayings actually mean.
Yeah.
And having like a virtual scroll.
Yeah. And then on the other, like have it rotate and have them actually translate it to pronounce it correct.
Yeah.
Yo, I mean,
our culture brings up all evaluations, period.
Yeah.
You hear me?
That's a
culture brings up all evaluations in anything because we are the trendsetters. You see how you just came up with that idea? A light bulb popped upside of your head. And you was like, oh, I got an idea. Bing. You know what I'm saying? That light bulb right there, like, you know, that's just how it go. We steady thinking, you know?
That's a fact. We're very creative people. And yeah. The way you come up with slang is like, it's more than just slang. It's actually like a brilliant, like, it's not easy to, like, you really like kind of making a language.
I'm the modern day Shakespeare.
Yeah. Other fact.
I'm gamed up. I got so many sayings and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? I like, the grit don't quit with me, man. You know, it's all gas, no brake pass, man. Ain't nothing sitting still but a motherfucking broken down Bonneville and an old ass hill. I'm gonna keep it pushing, baby.
40 water, 40 man. Fonzarelli, it's been an honor and a pleasure, man. Thank you for gracing our platform.
Not gracing, sprinkling.
Sprinkling. Before Salt Bay, don't ever get it. Don't ever play yourself.
Jacked you.
Before Salt Bay don't know. He don't know. I don't get mad at nobody, man. I'm like, I'm the first of many things, slang and all. I don't trip on that, but I hate when other people try to claim something and then they argue with somebody else that they claim it. And when it all came down from OG 40 water that don't ever say nothing about it. I kick back and just like, oh man, these dudes, I don't want these dudes arguing over this word when they just don't know this shit been around before they was born. I've been popping that shit, man. You know?
Yeah. Take them dreads.
No, man. Like, I don't even, I don't get butt hurt. I know that a lot of people get mad at me, like a lot of these young dudes fans, because if I say I came with a certain word or something, they get mad at me like, bro, that ain't my fault. I've been saying this shit. What you want me to do? Like, don't, and I don't even have to speak on it. It's other people that speak on it for me. They'd be like, man, 40 came with that. They'd get to quoting the words and shit I said on platinum and gold albums. These ain't no little old ass albums that I said this on. These are impact albums that I said certain shit on. You know what I'm saying? So they really, the fans be, these youngsters, they begin, they fans get mad at, well, so what? He made it better. He made it better than what 40 said. Like, man, come on, man. Ain't nobody tripping on none of that shit, man. If I had a dollar for every word I made up, I'd be a zillionaire. Hello.
Because that for Shizzle and all that, that's you. That's you, right? The
with Snoop. I was the first. Me and Too Short was the first rapper saying for Sheezy, you know, doing all that for Shizzle, for Sheezy and all that. Mm-hmm. But we were the first one to stand it on wax and the first rappers that was really actually just screaming it. But I got it from my partner Tweezy from Twice. You know what I'm saying? And then I gave the credit to Three Times Crazy. I said, my nigga's Three Times Crazy. Lacey, he told me how to stay for Sheezy because I was in the studio with him one day. And Bart was like, E, but it's for Sheezy, not for Shizzy. Because I was saying it wrong. Twice was saying it for Sheezy a couple of nights before when I was in the studio working with him. And then so I said it like that. Bart was like, E, but it's for Sheezy. So I was like, it wasn't Keek that did it. And I love Keek. It wasn't Keek that told me, you know, and Nas for Sheezy, it was Bart from Three Times Crazy. You understand me? That's a group out of the Oakland, legendary group. So that's what that came. And I gave them dap. That's what I said. I give motherfuckers dap. I said the whole group. I said, my nigga's Three Times Crazy. Instead of just saying Bart, my nigga Bart, you know, laced me. I said the whole Three Times Crazy just to include everybody. That's just how I do it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from the Bay where this shit originated at. The game originated in the Bay. So I'm surrounded by just all kind of slang and lingo.
Where these rappers be getting their lingo from.
Mm. You feel what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying? Well, it's the truth. It's the truth, bro.
Nah, I appreciate that, man.
Dame Dollar is dancing somewhere. You hear this interview, he gonna dance. He gonna be
shout out to Dame Dollar, man.
Lillard. Oh, that's the guy.
How I'm doing?
He the guy. He got that's the Oakland dance. That's they dance right there. The town got kids.
Well, I'm jacking a little bit.
Yeah, you own it. Dame Dollar, he gamed up, man. He from the town.
That's a
you
fact.
Know? Hello.
Town business.
You understand?
Sure. That's a fact, man. What would you like to tell the people? How can they find out information about your spirit company, any other ventures that you have going on, your restaurant, all the information? What would you like to let the people?
You can go to Lumpia Company Instagram. It'll give you the times we are open, location, how you could order it. You can go to my Instagram and go to my bio. And push the link and it'll say Uptown Spirits where you can order all my, you know, where you can order liquor. It used to be just wine back in the days where you send direct to consumer. Now you do liquor now, like actual shit, you know, the Copper Belts of the world, Copper Belt bourbon, shit like that. You feel?
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Beautiful thing. You can order online. You can go to your, and what I ask all y'all to do, go to your local store and say, do you look at my Instagram or my Facebook or my Twitter and say, do you have this? And what that local store going to say is, we've been getting a lot of requests for that. I'm going to order it from my distributor that sells it to them. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it's going to go. And that's how you build a demand. That's how it happened with me with my music. You know, it started local. Then next thing you know, it's in the north, the Northwest. Then next thing you know, it's in the Midwest. Next thing you know, it's in the deep South. Next thing you know, yes, there is everywhere like air. So that's how it all happens. Word of mouth is the best form, the cheapest form of, you understand me, like promotions and stuff and marketing. Like word of mouth circulates, man. It's all over the place like space, you know? So I tell people, man, if y'all keep on buying it, I'm gonna keep supplying it. And far as music, if y'all keep on streaming it, I'm gonna keep on bringing it. Period.
That is a fact. That is a fact. I appreciate that. Because like I said, for us, we take a little bit from everybody. It's like gumbo. And it's just dope to hear different people's perspective, like sitting with Jim Jones and him talking about Harlem and everything. And you know, sitting with like somebody from Master P from Louisiana and his perspective, or even like our guy Don Key from Houston, Texas, screwed up click. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's their culture. And then, like, you know, everybody has different elements that they bring, but you get games.
It's nostalgic.
Like it's very nostalgic situation. Yeah. So
it's great. Like, we watched these. I remember reading about you in The Source, man. Shout out to The Source. And to meet these people, speak to these people who are living legends in our lives and hear them outside of what they're, you know, particularly known for in music, but in business is just, it's incredible, man. This was fun. This is really fun.
Thank you, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. I enjoyed myself. You know, it's always a pleasure when fixtures get together.
That's a fact, man. We got to link up once Corona is over. Definitely got to link up in person, man. And we got this game. We got to go to the Warriors.
Oh, now we know we got to sit court. So.
Let's get. I got to get y'all. Hey, let me tell you something. Y'all be right with me courtside if it wasn't for the pandemic. You dig? So it'll be over soon, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? It'll be over soon so we can tycoon. Hello.
That is a fact. But pleasure having you, brother. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. And anything that we can do to support, it's never a problem. Let us know, like, any updates that you have on the company, any updates that you have, if you want any, you know, press to get out there, you know, that's what we're here for.
Hey, no problem. Thank y'all for having me, man.
All right, bro.
Hey, Earl Stevens, y'all.
Appreciate you, bro.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.